Father in heaven, we love you. And we pray that your eyes would be our eyes, that we would catch your vision and your perspective, not just for our own lives and what you would have us do, but also for others, that we would serve one another, not out of obligation, as was said before, but out of pure joy. The fact that we know that we're simply emulating you and what you did when you were here on earth, giving us an example, giving us a vision. I pray that we would catch that vision today, and we would catch the incredible vision of the revelation of Jesus Christ to John as we continue to study it together. Anoint our pastor and the tremendous message he's prepared for us, and prepare our hearts to receive it, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, kids, let's head down together to Children's Church.
Now that Marty's gone, I love Marty. Tremendous message that he's going to get. It's like, I did enjoy singing in English this morning. I mean, that was really, you don't know what, yeah, I was at the point, this is really great. And it's like, well, I'm singing in English for the first time. I don't sing in Romanian, okay? I just sort of, the words, they're not close to what we sing. Okay, and so I try to mouth them. And one guy, I was standing next to him and Mihai. If you don't know a guy's name, you just call him Mihai, because everybody's Mihai. It's a little like John. Or in our church, everybody's name is what? In our church, go ahead. Bob. Everybody's, oh, hi, Bob. You know, hi, Bob. How do you know my name? Well, everybody's Bob. Anyways, it's Mihai. And so I'm standing out there, and I thought, you know, I want to sing the songs, because I know them. 10,000 Reasons. Wow, I love that. And there are a couple other ones, but I'm over here like this, and I'm standing next to Mihai, and he's singing the words, and I'm trying to listen. He keeps moving away from me. I'm not sure why. These Americans are weird. You got to watch them. Anyways, this morning, meet the ultimate author of the book. I have books on my shelf, and maybe you do too, that I know these men's voices. I read Chuck Swindoll's books once in a while, David Jeremiah's books. I read other books, and I can, Ravi Zacharias, I love to hear Ravi Zacharias. And if I want to hear him, I just take out the book that he wrote, and I can hear him. How many do that? You can hear the voice. And see, the book means so much more if I know the author. The book means so much more if I have heard his voice before. And as we start the book of the Revelation, there are a lot of people who are afraid of the book of the Revelation. Well, I don't like that. They shy away from it. And I submit to you this morning, most of the people who are afraid of the book of the Revelation do not have an intimate relationship with the author. Now, that's just my opinion. So this morning, trust you have an intimate relationship with the author. We're looking at the scripture here this morning. Let me go ahead and read. I highlight these for a reason, okay, because I want you to notice some things. John, who's he writing to? To the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness and the firstborn from the dead and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him, who? Christ. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. And everybody said what? Amen. Amen. See, I do know some Romanian. Amen. Okay. We say amen, they say amen. Amen. So be it. We move on. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him. Friend, will you be ready when Jesus comes? How many, as soon as I read this, there's some songs that just come off my lips. Friend, will you be ready? Behold, he comes. We sang it before. Behold, he comes. Anyways, and then, friend, will you be ready when he comes? Here's where we get it. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. And all the, who are we talking about? Jesus. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Again, what you have just read, what you have just followed along in reading, it is a description of Jesus Christ. He is the author of the book. Don't skip over chapter number one if you're reading the book of the Revelation. You ought to memorize chapter number one. And then, if you know the author, you can handle the future. There's nothing that he cannot handle, and we're going to see that this morning as we read together. I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos at a vacation stop. It's not what it is. For the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. This revelation of the future is authored by the Trinity. Now, I want you to notice something here this morning, and I put this in here. I think it needs to be said. Here it is. By the way, despite so-called Christians who endeavor to do so, this whole letter clearly indicates that any attempt to prove that their God is our God is ill-founded, ignorant, and misguided. How many know what I'm talking about? Folks, Allah is not Yahweh. That is not going to happen. It is impossible. I cannot believe the gymnastics that people are going through to say that we worship the same God. We do not. Sorry. Yahweh is not Allah. Allah is not Yahweh. And we'll see it as we move through here. There is no way you can twist the scripture to force that meaning. Again, in all deference and kindness, I am not saying that you're bad or whatever. I'm just saying don't try to equate the two. You cannot do that. So be kind. Be kind. But don't bend or break when you're talking to folks. The normal essentials of a first letter, century letter are reiterated. Here they are. We've seen them before. The human author is John. He's the former fisherman and disciple of Christ, the one whom Jesus loved. We may safely say he is Jesus' best friend. Now, Jesus had friends, disciples. He had the 12, and then he had the inner three, Peter, James, and John. And then, who is the beloved disciple? It's John. At this point in time, John is the only one alive on the planet. It is 95 A.D. He's an old duffer. He is on the island of Patmos. He's a wonderful guy. He walked with Jesus for how many years? At least 3 years. He knows Jesus. He gets to write the last chapter of the Bible, or the last book of the Bible. The letter's recipients are 7 literal historical churches, not buildings or groups of believers in Asia Minor. And when we get to Revelation 2 and 3, we will meet 7 different churches that this letter will be going to. They are influential and representative of churches throughout the ages, and we'll see that. John didn't have 7 secretaries and 7 couriers, so he wrote one letter intended to be read as the courier traveled from city to city. And so John writes the letter. He's on the island of Patmos, which we'll see later on, okay? And you already read that. But he's on there. He writes it, one letter. He takes it to the first church, and then the guy reads it there. They may have a scribe at their church. They may have a scribe there and say, wait, before you leave, give me 24 hours. In fact, I doubt that. Give me a day. Let me get a copy of that letter. And he would meticulously write out a copy of the book of the Revelation. Then they would send the original. The courier would take it to the next church. He would stand up on a Sunday morning like we are here, and he would read the book of the Revelation. Might want a copy there. And so he would go to the next church. 7 different churches are mentioned. Not that that's the only churches that existed, but they happen to be influential, and they are representative of churches throughout that area. Okay? And so we need to understand that. We'll get there. We know of other churches, but John writes to the most prominent and strategic 7 cities in the region. And if you follow the churches in Revelation 2 and 3, you'll find there is a pattern there. They're anywhere from 30 to 35 miles apart, and this courier would travel reading that letter to those groups of believers. There is a prayer wish for grace and peace for the recipients. The ultimate source of the revelation of grace and peace is God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and God the Son. We usually say God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, right? This one, they're not in that order, as we'll notice it when we read down through. From him who is and who was and who is to come. The phrase him who is, who was, and is to come. Am I talking too fast? Let me catch my breath. When you guys get caught up, let me know. Sometimes I get excited. How many of you get excited? Okay, hopefully you get excited over the right things. Hopefully I get excited over things. Now let me slow down a little bit. Okay. The phrase, him who is, who was, and is to come, would certainly and automatically take readers back to the Old Testament text, Exodus 3, 13, and 14. Okay? Revealing a reference to God the Father. Now you need to understand that. And I have another quote down here. It is virtually impossible to understand Revelation without the Old Testament. There are more allusions to the Old Testament in the book of the Revelation than any other book in the New Testament. And so if you're trying to understand the book of the Revelation, you won't be able to do it unless you really have a decent grasp on the Old Testament. Now, if you have a good study Bible, it'll send you back multiple times. This is one of those situations. Then Moses said to God, "Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they say to me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say to them?" So Moses is speaking to God. Remember Exodus 3? God says, "Hey, Moses, I want you to go back and set my people free. You tell Pharaoh, set them free." Well, wait a minute. When I go to my people, who sent me? Authorization. Who authorized this? And God says to him, well, Moses says this. Here's what God says in reply. And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you." Now, to you and I, that doesn't mean a lot. But to the Jewish people, I am. I am the preexistent. I am the eternal God. You tell them that's who sent you. And by the way, in the Gospel of John, if you ever read it, Jesus says, "I am" 7 times. What Jesus is claiming is Godhead. He's part of the Godhead. So automatically, Jesus never claims to be God. Are you kidding me? How can you say that? You read the Gospel of John, he claims to be God. In fact, after he says that, guess what? The people try to stone him. They pick up stones and try to stone him. Why do they stone him? Because in their minds, he's blaspheming. Because he's making himself equal to God. So there is no way you can miss this. What else happens? The reference to the 7 spirits before the throne could be linked to Isaiah 11:2, but more likely Zechariah 4:2 through 6, referring to the fullness and power of God's Holy Spirit. Again, these are, if they were reading the book of the Revelation, many of these people would be Jewish, and when they see this, they would say, I think he's referring back to Isaiah 11. Well, no, he could be Zechariah chapter number 4. But either one of them would suffice. And he said to me, there's an angel speaking to Zechariah, and he said to me, "What do you see?" So I said, "I am looking, and there is a lampstand of solid gold with a bowl on top of it. And on the stand, 7 lamps and 7 pipes to the 7 lamps. 2 olive trees are by it, one at the right of the bowl and the other at the left." Now, to you and to me, Gentile, no speak of the Hebrew, no speak the Greek. I know Hebrew and Greek, but I would never be able to carry on a conversation. These things don't mean a lot. But if I were Jewish and if I were reading this, the 7 spirits, I would say, I'm pretty sure I know what that means. I know what he's talking about. They would have no problem. And so he goes on. "So I answered and spoke to the angel who talked with me, saying, 'What are these, my Lord?'" And notice it's a small L, "my master." He's talking to an angel. "What are these? Explain this to me. Help me understand." "Then the angel who talked with me answered and said to me, 'Do you not know what these are?' And I said, 'What? No, my Lord. I don't have a clue. What are they?' So he answered and said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel: not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts.'" Now, what was the question? "What, do you know what these mean?" "No, I don't know." And then he comes up with this quote. It's a reference to the Spirit of the Lord. There is no need to question the identity or significance of the next reference. It's clearly Jesus Christ. "And from Jesus, the faithful witness, firstborn and ruler of the kings of the earth." He is the faithful witness, the one who consistently speaks truth, who is completely reliable and dependable. Now, we could get into politics here, but we won't do that, okay? Folks, if Jesus says it, it's true. If he says it, you can count on it. You can take it to the bank. He is the faithful witness. He is reliable. What he says is reality. He is the firstborn from the dead, the first and only one to escape the clutches of death, never to die again. Prototokos, I think, is the name. Could be the Greek word. I don't know. I haven't checked my Greek lately. But it doesn't mean birth. It means he is the preeminent one. He is the first one to come out of the grave. By the way, resurrection and reanimation are not the same thing. How many people in the Bible were reanimated? There were a number. What does that mean? Lazarus, reanimated. It's not technically a resurrection because, like it or not, Lazarus, you got to go through this again, okay? Lazarus was reanimated and he died later on. The widow of Nain had a son, reanimated, he had to die again. The 12-year-old daughter of Jairus' daughter died when she was 12, she had to die again, okay? That's reanimation. Resurrection, Jesus Christ is the first one who was resurrected out of the dead. He was dead 4 days, dead, buried, gone, done, until he came out of the grave. First and only one come out of the grave, and there he is. He is the ruler of the kings of the earth, the earth's kings. All terrestrial authorities are subject to him and can continue their reigns only as he sovereignly permits. Really, you ought to read this. This is an election year, okay? We should read this together. Okay, why do you say that? All terrestrial authorities, doesn't matter whether you're in Romania, I saw Ceausescu's castle, 1,000 rooms, beautiful, beautiful, amazing, $950 million. He built his castle while his people starved to death. You know what? There's a certain candidate would like us to put us into that situation again, socialism. I would invite you, why don't you go over and interview the people in Romania, see what they think about socialism. Horrible, amazing, beautiful. And when we toured the castle, and it's not technically, it's a huge building. The guy, we toured for an hour, and the guide at the end said, now the tour is done, you have seen 3% of the building. And there were only about 20 of us there. I said, did you say 3%? I went like that. Did you? He said, yes, 3%. Man, that is amazing. He ruled with an iron fist. He did whatever he wanted. All terrestrial authorities are subject to him and can continue their reigns only as he sovereignly permits. And again, I would submit to you that most of us came to Christ through a crisis. We shared in our Sunday school this morning with five people that want to become members. Most of us came to Christ through a crisis. And so when we have a crisis, you know what? God uses that to draw us back to himself. And so if we face a crisis in these next few years, guess what? Does God allow that to happen? Go ahead, answer. Yes, he does. Why does he do that? Because he's angry? Possibly. But you know what? God uses a crisis in my life, in your life, to draw us closer to him. What I need to do, are you listening? What I need to do is respond to a crisis by drawing near to God. True or false? True or false? True. Moving on. He has loved us and demonstrated that love for us. How did Jesus demonstrate his love for us? In that while we were still sinners, what? He died for me. The innocent one shed his blood for the guilty one. And that would include you. He has washed us from our sins in his own blood. While the sins of the enemies of God continue to pile up in readiness for divine judgment, the sins of those who have turned to God have already been loosed by the blood of Christ. If I were to die this morning, I go to heaven. How are you so confident of that? The Word of God says this. Number one, I'm a sinner. That's bad news. I don't like that, but it's true. I know it's true. Number two, the wages of sin is death. I deserve to die because of my sin. In fact, I deserve to die and go to hell because of my sin. Yeah, I'm honest with you. Number three, Christ died for my sins. By inviting him into my life, trusting him as my Savior, My sins are forgiven. I'm on my way to glory. By my good works, answer, no, never. By grace, yes. By faith alone in Christ alone, yes. And that's where we're at this morning. He has elevated us to positions of significant ministry. What has he done? Well, he has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. God not only saves us from something, sin, he saves us for something, service as kings and priests. Now, I'm not sure. I think that refers to a later stage that we'll get to when we get to. To him alone belongs eternal glory and the right to reign. Why so much emphasis on the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ? Because he's done it all. He's done it all. He is the Lamb of God. We'll see that Lamb picture throughout. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. It is because of who Jesus Christ is and what he has done that I have any hope in the future. Without Christ, you have no hope. Without Christ, I have no hope. Without a relationship with him, there is no hope. There are people pumping themselves today just trying to get excited about life, trying to convince themselves that life is worth living. Folks, let's be honest. Without Christ, without hope, we have no reason to live. Most people, if they get that honest, it's not a healthy thing. It usually leads to something else. This revelation announces the Almighty's game plan, verses 7 and 8. His game plan includes the coming of Jesus Christ. We've seen that already. Earth dwellers should sit up and pay attention. Behold, he is coming. This event is important and will dramatically affect all mankind. As we move through the book of the Revelation, Jesus Christ is coming. He is coming. He is coming. And he tells us this so what we can do? So we can do what? Get ready. Get ready. Be prepared. He will come again just as he promised in Acts chapter 9, or 1, verses 1, 9 to 11. Let me go ahead and read it for you if I could. Acts chapter 1. Now, when Jesus had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. He also said, let me paraphrase this, why are you guys standing there with your mouths hanging open? Now I'll read the scripture. Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. What did Jesus say? I am coming back. I am coming back. He came with clouds, or he left with clouds. He will come back in clouds. Jesus always tells the truth. He's the reliable witness. He said he's coming back. He will come back. It's just a matter of time. And by the way, no one knows the day or the hour, even those who try to predict it. Everyone on planet Earth will observe his coming. Jews, those who pierced him, I think that's what he's referring to. And Gentiles, the tribes of the earth, those who see him will mourn him because of him. And again, we're not going to answer this morning, but they will mourn. There will be a time on this planet when this planet sees the Lord Jesus Christ, the one whom they have pierced for the Jews, and we will mourn. Now, is that a mourning, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G? Is that a mourning, a sorrow because of repentance? Or is it we had child dedication this morning. Funny thing about children, when you catch them, sometimes they mourn. How many know what I'm talking about? Some of them mourn because they're sorry for what they did. Some of them mourn because they're sorry for what's going to happen because of what they did. Okay? Now, there is a difference there, okay? If I mourn because of what I did, that's a good mourning. I am sorry. I am wrong. I am stupid. I can't believe I did that. I am sorry. That's a healthy repentance. If I am sorry just because of the consequences, that's a problem. Because all I want to do is avoid the consequences. You know what? I am hoping that the tribes of the earth, when they see the Lord Jesus come in glory, when they see what they have done, they will say, I am a sinner. I need Christ. There will be that opportunity during that time. We could rephrase the amen, so be it, or bring it on. It's going to happen. His game plan will surely succeed because of its dependence on its architect. This is certainly a reference to the Father. He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the self-existent and eternal one. He is the one who is, was, and is to come. Another reference to his eternality. He's got all the bases covered from beginning to end. In the Greek alphabet, Alpha, Omega, beginning to end, he's got it covered. He knows what he's doing. He's been here. He's seen everything. He knows where we're going. Guess who's in control? He is. So as I move through the book of the Revelation, I don't have to have an anxiety attack. I don't have to worry about what's going to happen. I know the one who wrote the book. I have confidence in him. I know that he loves me. I know that he will care for me. And anything that happens to me in the future will have to pass through his hands. I can trust him. I can trust him. Say it with me. Ready? I can trust him. Say it again. I can trust him. Say it again. I can trust him. Do you? See, it's easy to say, but you know there are times when we get a little, you know, a little uptight. What I need to learn to do is this. I need to know God well enough that when the crisis comes, I can trust him. I can say, Lord, thank you for being in control. Lord, I don't understand. And folks, I really appreciate it being in Romania, and I appreciate you folks allowing me to go. Because I don't know how many times I preached, but a number of times to the students, and then at chapels at night, and then Saturday, and then Sunday when I preached. This came up a number of times. Lord, I don't understand what you're doing, but I trust you. I need to be able to say that in all honesty. Because there are a lot of things that you will not understand. There are a lot of things God does that you will not like and have not liked. How many, to be honest, how many are sitting here this morning, God has done something, allowed something in your life that you didn't like? Now, the rest of you are sleeping, or you're not telling the truth. God allows things to come into my life for my good. And I need to come to a place in my life where I say, Lord, I don't understand it. I don't like it. I don't agree with it. But Lord, I'm going to trust you on this one. Hey, you got to get there. You got to get there. And I'm hoping that you're closer than you were when you got in this morning. He is the Almighty. He is the supreme over all things. These verses, you got to read these. Again, it goes back with the, their God is not our God. Look at this. Isaiah 41:4. Who has performed and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, am the first and with the last. I am he. The next verse. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. Wow, that's pretty blunt, isn't it? Anybody confused on that? How could you miss it? He is the Almighty, supreme over all things. All things are under his sovereign control. Listen to me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. I am he. I am the first. I am also the last. I had to include this verse. I didn't originally, but look at this. Indeed, my hand has laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand has stretched out the heavens. When I call to them, they stand up together. Wow, that's, how would you like to have that control? Heavens and earth, when I call to them, guess what? They come. Man, that is absolute control. Can you do that? Can you? Anybody here can do that? You can't do that. I love the end of the book of Job. 75 questions. Job is confused. He doesn't understand. And you know what? God says, okay, Job, come on. You know, get your pants on. Let's talk here. Can you do this? Can you do this? Can you do this? Can you do this? And Job says, I'm sorry I ask. Have you ever done this? Lord, I'm sorry. I was angry at you. I was upset. I said some stupid things. Lord, I'm sorry. I questioned your judgment. Folks, I won't ask you for a show of hands, but I've done that before. You know what? I hate to admit this, but he's always right. Ah, how many of your spouses like that? They're always right. No, no. God is always right. He's never wrong. I just need to learn that. This revelation is written by a beloved fellow John states his relationship to the readers and hearers of the letters. This humble apostle never refers to himself as such. He says, I'm your brother. I'm a fellow sufferer. I shouldn't have put that up there. I'm in pain with you. He is their brother. They're on the same plane because of their relationship with Christ. That says a lot. Here is a guy who walked with Jesus, who pastored churches, And he's writing to people who are suffering. He says, hey, I'm no different than you are. I'm suffering here just like you're suffering there. And John is writing to a bunch of people who are under persecution. And he knows what he's talking about. He is one who shares in the same kinds of sufferings that they are and will experience. I know what you're going through. I love that. See, there are some people that I cannot say, I know how you feel. I would never say that. I hurt for you. I feel bad for you. I can give you a hug, but I don't know how you feel because I've never gone through there. And some of you, you could hug somebody and say, you know what? I know how you're feeling. I know how you're feeling. Well, how would you know? Because it happened to me. And many of you, folks, that's called ministry. And let me just take a little break here. When you know somebody else is hurting, one of the best things you can do is just go there. Be with them. Spend time with them. Listen to them. You don't have to have all the answers. Your presence there. I still remember we had a little boy die. I was associate pastor, 9 years old, had leukemia. He died. I didn't know what to do because I was the associate pastor. I called up a dear friend, and he said, just go there. You don't have to have any answers, so you don't have to even say anything. You just give them a hug, and you sit there for a while. And that's what I did. I don't have any answers sometimes. And folks, you don't have any answers either. But the least I can do is go and sit with you and say, I care about you. I don't know how you feel. I've never been there before, but I care about you. If you've been there before, you can say, you know what? I think I understand a little bit of what you're going through. Folks, that is called ministry. You know people who are hurting. It is your job to minister to those dear folks. Moving on. He reminds them that a relationship with Jesus Christ promises tribulation. Did you know that? In this world, you will have tribulation. You're going to have problems. How many are surprised by that? You know that. Folks, let's not be so naive. I'm not into the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel. Oh, trust Jesus and everything will be wonderful. I must not have trusted Jesus because everything wasn't wonderful. And there are people that preach that. They say, if you're really trusting Jesus, everything will be wonderful. All your bills will get paid and you'll be healthy, wealthy, and wise, and your children will turn out wonderful and all of that. You know what? The only problem with that, it's a bunch of baloney, hooey. There are a few other things that I don't have in my vocabulary anymore, okay? And some of you know, how many have ever had a vocabulary like that? I mean, yeah. I don't say those things, but I think them. That's the problem, okay? But I'm not going to say them this morning or anytime. Because if I say them at any other point in time, see, that's one of the things, and you might want to learn this. This might be helpful for you. If you wouldn't say it in public, don't even think it. Don't even think it, okay? How many understand what I'm saying? Okay, there's three, four. That's five. Okay. Ah, you've been promised a tribulation, a kingdom. Ah, that's and the endurance to continue. John shares his present living arrangements and the reasons for them. This is not a vacation spot on a pleasure cruise. He was currently and temporarily banished to a small island with a bunch of malcontents who defended offended the authorities. John is over here. This is an island, a volcanic island. The Rome would ship their prisoners out there, dump them off, and they stay there.
Well, don't they provide meals for them and beds and all that?
No, they don't do that. They're on their own, okay? And that's where John is. Now, that may be where he died. We're not sure. He was guilty of preaching and teaching the Word of God. Wow. Ooh. You know what? We could be guilty of the same. How many would like to be guilty of preaching and teaching the Word of God? Okay, I'm okay with that. Okay? Now, there may come a time when, if you're guilty of that, you may have to pay some consequences. I don't know. I can't tell the future. He was also guilty of witnessing for Jesus Christ, of testifying to the reality of who he is. How many are guilty of that? Folks, I need to be guilty of that. I need to be sharing Christ with other people. I need to have my story down. I need to tell people, in about 4 minutes, this is how I came to faith in Christ, so that when they listen, they can say, you know what, I think I understand what you're saying. Folks, I need to be able to do that. You need to be able to do that. What was that? What was that? Lord, send us more like him. When we, read this with me, okay? When we know the author, the future is much less terrifying. How many are a little concerned about the future? I won't ask about Lot. I am a little concerned. I guess I've always been concerned. Whenever you have people who are unsaved, and some of them claim to be saved, who are vying to lead our country, it's got to be, oh my. What we end up doing is picking someone who would do the least damage. And really, that's what we do. The future can be terrifying, but when we know the author, capital A, the future is much less terrifying. I close with these verses this morning. Thus says the Lord, this is directly from the mouth of God, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. Those guys, don't get excited about it. Don't boast about all those things. You want to get excited about something? Read it with me, please. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me. You want to glory? You glory in that. I know the Lord. Say it with me if you know the Lord. I know the Lord. Ready? I know the Lord. Say it again. I know the Lord. Say it again. I know the Lord. Wonderful. I know the Lord. I know the Lord. And guess what? It's okay. It's okay. Oh, finish the verse. Here we go. That I am the Lord exercising what? Loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. I think he wants us to understand the most important thing you can do is what? Understand and know the Lord. How does that happen? I've explained that already. There has to be an initial commitment to Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter how old you are, there's an understanding of who Christ is, of who I am. I am a sinner. The wages of sin is death. I come to Christ, I realize who he is and what he has done. He has shed his blood on the cross to pay for my sin debt. I embrace him as my Savior. That's not the end. That's the beginning. That's the beginning of your Christian life. And then you get in the Word, you listen to messages, you read books, you study, you learn to know the Lord. 50 years is a long time to be married. But if I ask Bob and Jean this morning, do you know your wife or husband better today than you did 50 years ago? What would the answer be? Go ahead, nice and loud. Yes! For better or for worse. We're not talking about it. No, they're talking about it. Folks, and I would say the same thing. The day I married my wife, the day I made that commitment to her and she made it to me, I thought I knew what I was getting into. But you know what? It's even better than I ever thought it would be. I know my wife better than ever. And those of you who are married, you know her or him better than ever. You know what? I trusted Christ 40-some years ago. I know him better than ever. Whatever he does, it's okay. Do I struggle a little bit? Answer, go ahead. Yeah. My objective is to know the Lord. That's what I get excited about. That's why I run so fast at the mouth. Because it's exciting to know the Lord and to say, you know what? I know him and it's okay. Father, this morning, we thank you for your presence today. I would look back over the service and I would thank you again for the parents, for the kids. I thank you for these grandparents and family who have come to support them, Lord. Father, my desire, and I would think our desire, is to live lives that are pleasing to you, to live lives that we can turn around and say to our children and grandchildren, follow me, I'm following Christ. Father, help us to live out our Christianity. Help us to know you better every day and to rest in you and your sovereign will. Father, as we move through the book of the Revelation, God, I pray that you'd help us to apply what we hear, what we learn to our lives, so that we might love you better, walk with you closer. Thank you again, Lord, for this morning. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.